Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to the Leeds Up podcast. I'm James and I'm with Rocco Dean.
Hello.
Before we get into the Sunderland game, the disappointment of the Sunderland game, special thanks to Bass and Bly for sponsoring the podcast. As always, we're very, very, very grateful for you sponsoring us, Justin, and the team. And here's David Dean's jingle.
Oh, Bass and Bly and magic. Justin wears a magic hat. Independent, trusted dealers. You'll hear it on Leeds That. Canon, Nikon, Fuji, Leica, Sony and the rest. If you want a decent camera, Bass and Bly have all the best. 60 years in cameras, we really know our stuff. Justin's here to serve you, he can never do enough. If it's cameras that you're after, pop in for a chat. When at home for footy, Justin listens to Leeds That. Oh, Bass and Bly and magic, both new and used on view. If you need binoculars, we've plenty of them too. Spotting scopes and lenses, all state of the art. Use Bass and Bly in Harrogate and you'll be very smart. Oh, Bass and Bly and magic, we don't sell no tat. We are here to serve you, you will hear it on Leeds That. With Rocco and Bielsa books and James with so much wit. Bass and Bly sells cameras and all the other shit.
So yep, go to bassandbly.com for all your binoculars, cameras, spotting scopes, lens repairs, films for like old 35mm cameras. You can buy old 35mm cameras. So www.bassandbly.com or 6 Beulah Street in Harrogate. Rocco, quite sullen we are at the minute, aren't we?
We are. That's a good word. Yeah, sullen. Disappointing night. Yeah, it was just abject, wasn't it? Not a good game to watch. Just like walking football, wasn't it, for a lot of it? Just didn't get going. I felt like it was an easy night for Sunderland. Didn't even feel like they needed to do much defending. Goalkeeper didn't make a save, did he? Yeah, just poor, really.
All they had to do was just stay in shape, didn't they?
Stay in shape and just knock a few balls behind with their arm, and that was the job done, wasn't it?
The bland games are always very, very hard to put to find details in, but where do you think things should have changed? And I know what you're going to say already. It begins with Ma, ends in Teo Joseph.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, Parker did the sensible thing, you know, sticking to his team that has done so fantastically well the second half of the season. But yes, I did think it was the wrong thing. And yeah, it didn't work out. Bamford, I thought, probably had a better game than he did on Saturday. But he's not in form. He's not playing well. He's not really helping us. I know Farker went into great lengths defending him on the presser. And again, talking about all the fantastic work he does off the ball. But I'm sick of hearing it, quite frankly. Like, I'm not asked. Like, Matteo Joseph can do that running as well. Pirro maybe can't, but Joseph can. And Joseph's better on the ball. I'm convinced of that. So, yeah, see what he does on Saturday. But Rutter as well. I mean, to be honest, like, I just feel like Farker's mismanaged him. I think he should have had a break. He's been rushed back. And he just, you know, from the first minute on yesterday, he just didn't look on it. He's completely done in.
I had that feeling on Rutter as well. It's just not clicking for him. Bamford, I think, in a way, Farker kind of opened the gates for him to be questioned on Bamford a little bit after he'd made comments at Coventry saying, you know, with the ball, he wasn't doing enough. And I think, to be honest, by saying that, he'd allowed himself to make the change if necessary as well. That's why I was a bit surprised that he didn't really swap him out, topping him out for starting, but then leaving it so late to make the changes as well. Like, we've talked about this all season. It's been the recurring thing of making changes late on. And I noticed that he sort of goes back into the bench on around, I think it's either 50 or 60 minutes. He just goes back and sits in there and obviously talks to tacticians and his assistants and whatnot. But then nothing really happens then again for another 10 minutes. Just think, what is going on in that discussion? Like, I would be dead keen to know. And obviously we're never going to know. But, you know, I think when we're so used to the polar opposite of this as well with under Marcelo, in that he would just hook, you know, what you would regard as your key players off after 20 odd minutes, if needs be. So to kind of wait for the 70th minute for a change is a bit like, come on, like, we can all see this isn't working.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that you always have to caveat is that we've got 87 points. So, you know, he's been doing this all season and it's been working. But that being said, I'm not sure that's much of a defense, because there's been occasions, you know, there's not been that many occasions where, you know, we all see that changes need to be made. You know, a lot of the times we're winning points just because, you know, we're winning. But I think a lot of the times when we've needed changes, it's not like he's not changed it and then we've gone on to win. You know, I'd have to look at the stats, but yeah, I'm not entirely sure on that. But it's, yeah, I don't know why he's made such, it's like he's with the Bamford thing, he's made it into an issue now. Like, he's made it into an issue. He's actually said, like, oh, at this stage, you don't want to be making big changes and experiments because it sends this message to the team. So now if he makes that change, then he's sending that panicked message to the team. It's almost like he's backed himself into a corner, and I feel like he's made a mistake there. So we'll see. We'll see. You know, we'll probably stick with them again on Saturday, and, you know, if maybe it'll work for us and we'll win and everything will be okay. But yeah, I do feel like, I don't know, like Dara said, you know, in our group, like, you know, what's the big deal? Like, you've got a couple of strikers, or at least one that's out of form. You've got strikers that are on form. You know, it's a squad. We've got a big, expensive 20 odd man squad. You know, give these guys a chance. I don't get it. And, you know, for half a season Bamford sat on the bench happily. Like, why is he so against changing it now? I honestly don't get it.
Yeah, it's a very good point Dara raises, because he's a smart man. And you know, when you look at it again, history, where we were crying out for another forward when we were sticking Dan James up front. Now we've got him. We're not willing to do the experiment. So yeah, the thing that comes to my mind watching them last night was, obviously there was a moment, or a number of moments, where the crowd were getting really frustrated with Rodon for not passing it right to Archie Gray. And I don't think that's a Joe Rodon thing. I think it's a tactical thing where, you know, the danger of Jack Clark playing down the left, who has been, you know, one of the best assisters in the league this season. He might be joint top. He's up there.
Dribbles. Yeah, and goals.
Yeah, dribbles, take-ons, he's like the highest. And, you know, he's been out for 5 or 6 weeks as well. So just ridiculous. So there is that nervousness to not pass it that way. But equally, we become so one-dimensional when they know that we're just going to pass it to our left-hand side to try and put Crescencio Somerville in to just take on a few players. And we just become really, really predictable. And I think they're the sort of games where you have to be tactically brave, where you, if you want to get a result, you've really got to go for it. And yeah, you can argue that that does expose you, but we're a side of absolutely quality players that have got the ability to dress down a team like Sunderland. There's plenty. We dressed down Leicester when it mattered this season. We threw the dice to get that result. If this was a game that was kind of earlier in the season, we would have all breezed past it and we'd be less stressed about it than we are now. But equally, I think we probably would have gone for it as well.
Yeah. Well, one thing I would say, to be fair to Farker, and I can't check my phone now because I had to go on aeroplane mode, but he did change it quite drastically. Brought on for Kamara, and that was before 70 minutes, I think. And that was, you know, then we were like basically playing with one in midfield and, you know, four forwards behind Bamford. So, like, we did go for it, but that didn't really work. Like, we were then exposed in midfield. So I think he did at least try something. But yeah, I do think, yeah, I think the, like Farker said after the game as well, I mean, he basically admitted it. He wanted us to be more controlled, actually. Like, he, you know, I don't know if the players went too far with that, because it was so laboured and so safe. But he did make a point of, you know, saying that he wanted the control of the match. You know, he didn't want to, you know, he wanted a clean sheet because we had a clean sheet for a while. And, you know, that's fair enough. And, you know, there were certain aspects that were good. The way that we controlled the game for 90 minutes is good. Didn't give up any real chances. But I don't know. I just thought it was the worst of Farker's football, really, last night. It was frustrating. And you made the point about the crowd. The one time, well, the period when the crowd got going early second half, that was our best period. Like, the players then, like, we looked like we were getting right on top of them for about 15 minutes. The crowd really were trying to spur them on, and makes me feel like we let them down in a way as well. I mean, Farker sort of called for it pre-match about making it like a cup final. And I hate that. Hate that cliche. And I hate it when managers try and sort of, don't know, instruct the crowd to be really good, because I don't know, it's just the crowd are going to be as they are. I think should have more respect for them, really. But yeah, I feel like we didn't do them any favours last night, and when we were getting behind them, they got better, and then it went quiet again and they got worse again. So that's a shame.
I do agree with that. Like, it's been quite flat at times this season, and it is that sort of a bit of apathy of, like, the disappointment and fallout of coming out of the Premier League. And also, like, just the expectation that we should be just rinsing teams. And I think we need to get rid of that. Because I did feel that last night, that, like, why aren't we getting behind them? And there was times where I joined in some chanting. Like, because I don't know whether it's like a male English thing. Not for me anyway. Of like, I'm not starting a chant. I'll wait till someone else does it. But a few people started around me and I joined in. Because I wanted to kind of try and lift it in our section a bit. Because it was just so quiet. And it is, it does make a huge difference. Like, the Leicester game was prime example of that.
Yeah, I was a state, especially in the first half. I was like, I don't know why, but I was just so nervous last night. And so, like, I was getting really annoyed with the slow, you know, laboured build-up. But then at the same time, I'm like telling myself just to calm down, and I want everyone to calm down. But then at the same time, I couldn't help myself, you know, not being calm. You know, I did think that if we kept going like we were, even though it was such a, you know, dull half, we didn't really lay a glove on them. I just felt at some point something would happen and we'd get the goal. You know, if we kept that control, I just felt we'd win, but it didn't happen. I mean, it probably would have happened if the referee hadn't been blind, but, you know, that would have been a get out of jail card for us anyway. You know, we didn't do enough to score. You know, probably we deserved to win, but we didn't do enough to win, really.
I was like you as well, Rocco. I think up until the last kick of the game, I still felt like we could do it. Even though we hadn't had any shots, we'd had one shot on target, really. I still felt like we could do it, because there was always that. You never know, there's just some weird deflection happens. Even when, like, Firpo that time where he bobbled that shot under the keeper, didn't he, on his right foot? You just think, something's just happened sometimes, but...
Yeah.
On reflection, it was just a crap night. We were bad, didn't live up to what should have been a game that was buried, really.
Yeah,
the referee, absolutely abysmal. That penalty handball incident is shocking. Only thing I will say is, even on the real-time playback, you can be forgiven for thinking that, like, Rodon heads it when you look at it. And I know, like, some people are saying there is a line of sight from the referee and the linesman. But I just think the situation is it much easier on a replay. All I would say is that I hate VAR. I don't want them to have to overturn that. But I do think we talked about earlier on the season about having some kind of official on the touchline. And if you have someone in that position, they're going to spot that, like, straight away, because they're right on the edge of all the action on the other side that the referee can't see. So yeah. Frustrating.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I couldn't see it from the cop, the one in the second half. And to be fair to the ref, and I'm not defending him here because two abysmal decisions, but the one in the first half, you know, I'm right in line with that as well. And I actually didn't notice it had come off his elbow. But the referee's right there on the pitch. He has to see that. I can't believe he didn't see it. I just feel like he's just, you know, I'm more annoyed about that first half one, because it just feels like nowadays, you're allowed to handball it as long as your arms are near your side. And it's just pathetic. Like, we've tied ourselves in knots with this handball rule. That was deliberate handball. He stops the ball probably going in the corner. it's a penalty every day of the week. And I just feel like the referee's seen that and just thought, oh, his hand's behind his, he's down by his side, so he's not giving it. And that infuriates me more than, you know, probably missing, you know, the frail, flailing arm that they got in the way of the header. But I mean, also Rodon's shirt's nearly off his back in that scenario as well. Just ridiculous. But yeah, it's annoying. Like people say refs are getting worse. I don't think they are, to be fair. And like they say, oh, we've got to do something. Like it needs sorting out. Like, what are you supposed to do? What's anyone supposed to do? I mean, how do you make a ref better? Like it's basically the people willing to do it. I suppose the best ones get to near the top. I mean, what can you actually do to help make them better? Like, surely it's the answer is nothing. They are what they are.
Well, the problem is that Tim Robinson has existed as an EFL referee for some time. So I'll go back to a tweet on August the 31st, 2018 by Matthew, who co-founded the podcast. And he said, we've had The Who, Queen, U2, Madonna and Springsteen at Leeds over the years. But tonight we were absolutely blessed with an appearance from Tim Robinson. A shame his performance was interrupted by occasional football, but honestly, it was an honour to see him. And then I think in December 2019, he also tweeted again saying, rare that I take time to tweet about a referee, but Tim Robinson seems to be a special case. And I think that was off the back, possibly, of him denying a penalty for Ben White against Fulham.
Right.
So Tim Robinson, he's got history with Leeds and he's obviously not improving. So Yeah.
No, I saw he's never given us a penalty in his career. So, yeah. Very frustrating.
It is very frustrating. And also the 3 minutes added on, Farker was going ballistic and you can completely forgive him for that. I mean, it's become essentially expected that you'll get 5 or 6 minutes minimum. We use a number of subs, goalkeeper time wasted constantly. Don't even know how that came to be 3 minutes.
Yeah, the one thing, again, I'll say, and I suppose I am defending the ref on this occasion.
Oh, no. He's back.
Well, I was thinking, like, with a few minutes to go, or in the second half at some point, I was thinking, like, Sunderland, fair play to them. Like, there was not a single faked injury. Not a single time did one of their players stay on the floor. So there was no injuries.
Tackle them.
So no fake head injuries, anything like that. So I was quite impressed with that. And obviously that's affected the injury time. But yeah, still 3 minutes. Yeah, when they have obviously time wasted a lot. And yeah, all the subs and stuff. Annoying.
What do we talk about next? Playoff dates.
The future. Yeah, is the season over? Is that it now? We can't do it, even though we're second.
I mean, the thing that everyone has overlooked, and I know it's a bit of a straw clutcher, is Leicester lost to Millwall away. And what does that do for them mentally? Like, are they completely scarred from that? Granted, they've got games in hand, but the pressure is on all of us. It's on all the top four. Southampton got a good win last night, could silently and quite quickly sort of move up and put everyone under pressure. But for me, Ipswich are playing later on. That could go either way. You just don't know. The pressure is a very tricky thing for anyone, particularly when you're a young footballer or a young manager as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I still think there'll be plenty of twists and turns. Leicester haven't got it easy. Ipswich don't have it easy, and we don't have it easy. But I think the Blackburn game's a good game for us. Strangely, I don't know why, but like I'm actually, and this is very rare for me, but I'm actually pleased that it's 12:30 kickoff. I don't know why, but I feel like there'll be less tension around. I don't know if it's because we had all day to worry about the game yesterday. But yeah, just get me to Ellen Road and get them back out there and get the 3 points on the board and everyone will feel happier. But yeah, Ipswich tonight, I'm not sure. I'm not sure they'll win. Maybe they will. But yeah, Southampton are going to have a big say in it. You know, Leicester have a game in hand, but it's against Southampton. It's still all there. We just need to concentrate on ourselves. And yeah, it's disappointing. But I really felt if we could win last night, we would be absolutely fine. I really did. And I felt the same going into Watford, you know, coming off the back of the international break. You know, I didn't want it to knock us out our stride. And I thought if we could, you know, come back and beat Watford, we'd just fly to promotion. I thought that last night, and both times we haven't done it. And also, like, last night, like, the other thing I've thought that I'm starting to worry about is that, like, all season we've not been under pressure. You know, it's almost been like, you know, just sort of free roll all season. We've been in the playoffs, miles from the top two. And then suddenly we had that international break as the leaders. And, you know, what's that done to the dynamic and the mentality? And now suddenly for the first time, you know, the players and the squad and Farker have got that Leeds United pressure to deal with. And it's not normal pressure. You know, he's not felt this at Norwich. It might be a really arrogant and ignorant thing to say, but I believe that. I think it's different and harder. And yeah, we didn't handle it very well last night, but hopefully we can learn from it quickly and get a confidence boosting win, and then two away games, which might play into our favour as well.
Yeah, it's not over until it's over. I think when you look back on previous seasons as well, and I mean, we would have been home and dry, wouldn't we, under Bielsa with this level of points. I looked back at the like last 5 or 6 years, and I think 91, 92 points would have got you promoted. If we get to those points by the end of the season and we're not automatically up, then fair enough. Like, it's been one of them seasons. We've done everything we possibly can. And yeah, there'll definitely be games where we'll look back on and think they were missed opportunities. But I'll look back more at the ones mid-season where we messed up, like Stoke away and Rotherham, which were just abysmal, where we should have turned up, rather than these ones, which Sunderland's always a hard fixture. So yeah.
No, I definitely agree. Yeah, 100%. 92 points. If they get to that, you know, they've done their job. Like, no one can have asked more of them. I just really hope we don't end with a real horrible whimper and like just, you know, 6 games without a win or something.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Let's not think about that. We don't need to worry about that.
No, that's it. And do we play ratings and man of the match? Do we do that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to this bit. I actually feel like quite a few players played really well. Starting with Ilan Meslier, thought he was great. He made some really good saves. I'd like to give him an 8, please.
Yeah, go on then. Good, 8. So made a nice save from that free kick. Got your position as well nicely.
First half, Jack Clark in behind the defence. He came sliding out and blocks that as well. Yeah, very important. And good distribution as well in difficult circumstances because no one was really moving for him.
Let's touch on that very quickly, if that's all right. But I think one of the biggest frustrations about watching England and Gareth Southgate's football is they'll pass it around the back non-stop and then pass it to the keeper and then just well it upfield for a 50-50. And that's where we got to last night. It was like, pass it, well it for just do the 50-50.
Yeah, yeah.
let's cut out all the passing.
How many minutes did we waste just passing it around? The one at the end of the first half where there was like 10 seconds left and Archie had the ball and it ended up going backwards. Oh God, that was just so annoying. Talking of Archie, I thought he did well. So he handled Jack Clark very well actually overall. So happy to give Archie a 7.
Give him a 7. He might have scored less if Rodon had passed the ball to him.
That's true. I thought Firpo had a very good game, actually. Probably didn't do much going forward, I suppose, but defended very resolutely. No one got past him.
I don't think he can be given 2 tasks in one game. He's like, either go up or you stay back. So he's like, this one, stay back.
7?
Yeah, fine.
Good lad. Right, and then Rodon.
I think we're being a bit kind here, aren't we?
No, because I mean, the defence kept a clean sheet. They defended perfectly.
Yeah, fine.
Rodon and Ampadu, I'd say 7 each. Ampadu made a great interception when they were down the side and pulled it. I think Clark pulled it back.
Oh, yeah.
Going to score and he came flying in. I think them two, were they the problem at the back? I don't know in terms of on the ball, but defensively they did their job. So I'm saying 7.
Ampadu was a nice surprise, actually, wasn't he, playing? I assume he necked a packet of Barocca before the game and just went out there. Yeah. Someone at work yesterday actually said, I accidentally ate a Barocca neat once rather than putting it in a glass. I was like, what? So you put it in your mouth? And he's like, yeah. What? Yeah, I might give that a go. I might not.
Probably not.
Anyway,
right. I thought Ilya was back in the Gruev last night. Thought he was superb. I'm giving him an 8.
I'm giving you a 0 for that flipping dad joke.
He was good, wasn't he? He breaking up the play, winning balls, especially second half. I thought he was excellent.
It felt like it makes you realise that he's been on the recharge the last couple of appearances. And yeah, it's good to have him back. I think he's going to be massive for us.
Yeah. Kamara got hooked. I thought he played well enough. Give him a 7.
I think that those two are getting up to pace again at the right time. I think, yeah, they'll be a different beast on Saturday. I think we'll annihilate Blackburn. That's my spoiler anyway.
Nice. I hope so. Well, yeah, I mean, the misfiring four we come on to, and yeah, like all of them last few weeks, they've just not been doing it. And I think that's where the real problem is. So
do we call them the unfortunate?
Oh yeah, that's all a right. Good one.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Good tonight. All well right. Done. 1 out of 10. James 6.
He did a lot of running with the ball, but just sort of ran into pain.
Do you know this, I'm sure, but Archie sent him down the right wing one time and he put an absolutely magnificent ball right into the mixer.
Bamford was a front post.
Yeah. My God. What was he? That movement was appalling. It was a brilliant ball. What was he doing? He like ran into where the defender was marking. Like
yeah,
he
I know. Had
stay in the middle of the goal. It's a goal. Well, no, probably wouldn't have been a goal, but you know what I mean.
You make your luck and bad luck.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you noticed that.
Yeah, I know. You're like you're some sort of supreme being. I can watch football as well, you know, Rocco. Bloody hell. Sometimes. I can't really. Most of the time last night, I was hanging my head in shame over the new rails.
You like it?
Safe standing, yeah. That's what they're for now, I've realised. It's not for stopping you. It's just something to slump on when you're feeling good.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, there's nothing safe about it. It gives you something to smash your head against when you're, like, really, really just completely exasperated. So, yeah, I'd get some padding on them ASAP. Somerville, 6, I suppose. Again, just not doing any. Oh, God, and the amount of times he goes down looking for penalties he's never going to get. That was annoying.
Yeah, a lot of pressure on him when we're just pinging all, trying to get all the balls over to him, and they're just set up to defend against it. It's like, kind of, not his night.
Yeah, definitely. You have to keep him on, always. He's still the man. Yeah, very tough for him last night. Rutter, got to give him a 5. Thought he was rubbish, really. He just looks like he's got lead in his boots now, to me. I think the decision-making as well, like he's not sharp, he's not buoyant. He's gone from last few weeks being a moments man to now not even delivering the moments. I'm worried. I wish he'd have had a rest. Like that hernia operation would have been a good excuse to give him a couple of weeks off. But easy to say from now, isn't it? If you'd have seen the lineup and seen Rutter on the bench at any point, I'd have been pissed off. So what do you think?
Rutter the Nutter. Yeah. All the things that have frustrated me all season, where he's had so many moments where he can just move the ball on quickly, he always defaults to his creative ability and his strength, which is fine. But I think you've just got to strike that balance of knowing when to use it and when not to. And that, for me, is like the key decision-making that's missing. And just shooting wildly from outside the box, like, he can't shoot. So, yeah, I want him to do well because I love him. I think he's such a great guy, like a great character. And I think he's still so young and there's a lot of pressure on him because of price tags and whatnot. And I desperately want him to do well, but equally sometimes them doing well is taking them out and giving them time to reflect.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know we're not going to get goals from him. Maybe you bring in Piru and see how he does. But yeah, that would be a big call, to be fair. But I don't know. Let's just hope he can get back on song. And then your man, Mr. Bamford, going to have to give him a 5, really. I did think I said he was better than last week and we gave him a 4 in the last game. So true to our word, if we give him a 5, I mean, it was a good chance on it in the end of the first half when he was sent through. I mean, you've just got to hit that first time, just, you know, nudge it past the keeper, try and nudge it through the keeper. It's just Mr. Indecisive, isn't he?
Yeah, we've talked about this for so many years now, but it's that pondering that really stifles him. There's not like a killer instinct in Bamford, and that's kind of what you need. Like Piru's very, very good at just that one touch, bang, or first touch, smashes it into the net. Although granted, he didn't get that one against Coventry, but that happens, but he had less opportunities. I think that's the thing for me. I don't think you're ever going to change Bamford. Like what we see now is what you get. He does score goals, but a bit like the eclipse the other day. They come round not too frequently.
Yeah, I think his link up play was probably a little bit better, and he was you know, quite competitive with the defenders, but not happening for him, is it? And we've got exciting and competent people ready to come in. So
this is the thing. We want all players to do well. Like, we're always coming from that position, but it's fine to criticize when it's not working. Like, they're used to that in their day-to-day jobs. Like, they'll be criticized by coaches and whatnot. Yeah. But I think give Mateo Joseph a run. Like, get him in, see what he can do. If it doesn't work, change it at halftime. Like, just give it a go. It takes pressure off everyone.
Well, and then, like, you go back to 2010, you know, Grayson had the balls to drop Beckford. You know, he'd scored 30 goals already that season. And he dropped him, and, you know, that actually got us promoted in the end. That's when we were revitalised with Max Gradle up front, scoring goals, you know, partnership with Becchio that absolutely flourished, and Beckford was a substitute, and then he brought him in for the last game, and he scored the goal. I just think it's the right thing to do. I really do. But I can't see it happening now.
Let's see where it goes, right? That it? Man of the match?
That's it. Man of the match. Good old Melier, who nearly crashed into you the other day, didn't he, while he was eating a chocolate eclair on his in his driver's seat.
Probably lots of legal stuff in that, so I don't know how to navigate it. He wasn't eating anything. He came out of a junction. He was nowhere near me. But he sort of swung out. It's fine. Everyone was fine. Everyone walked away. But yeah, very nice car. I did try to do the lead salute. He just was driving, didn't see me.
Eating, didn't see you.
Eating his eclairs, snuffling, drinking hot chocolate or whatever. No, I don't know what he was doing. He was driving his car. Everything's fine. All right, cool. Man of the match for me, Gruev, I think.
Nice.
Not, I mean, creatively, he's not that sort of player, is he? But he mopped up things very well, and it felt like we were more solid in the middle. I think if he'd not been on his A game, we would have struggled even more in that game. We probably would have lost a handle on it. So yeah, for me, it's Gruev.
Last question.
Go on.
Were you going up automatically?
I know I'm always the nervous one, and I have been a pessimist for the last few weeks. And now we're at this crunch point. I weirdly feel like we can do it. And I don't know whether it's because, well, I think it is because of the Leicester Millwall game, where you've seen pressure really add on to teams. It's adding on to us. But have we got rid of ours now? Like, is that it? I just think it's a big ask to go this whole season and this stretch after Christmas without a loss or without some bad results along the way. But there's just something, a feeling, I don't know what it is, where I feel like we can do it. And maybe that's the stupid blind optimism that you have as a football fan of Leeds in general. But I just feel like something's going to go our way.
Nice. You don't want to hear my answer.
Go on,
I'm the opposite.
No, it's good. Balance.
Nah, I'm not saying that I don't think we're going to go up now. I'm more worried than I've been. I've been in like a state of calm and almost bliss this season, just thinking what will be. It'll be the playoffs, so we'll go up. But from this position now, I'm just a bit worried. If we beat Blackburn, I'll feel good again. I feel like we're good enough to just go and win these games. So it's Farker versus the ghost of Leeds United past, I think. And let's hope he can do it.
And if we don't do it in these league games, we've got some playoff matches to go at, which will feel, we just need to freshen up for that as well. So it is what it is. Whatever will be, we'll still be here next year moaning about it. So it's all fine. It's all good. And Rocco, your book, it's been nudged back a week.
Yeah.
So it's not out on Monday. It's out a week on Monday. Is that right?
So a week on Monday, yeah. Don't believe the hype. Yeah, it's not coming on the 15th. It's coming a week later. But they've not pulled it, so that's good. Still good. Still coming.
It's gone into the playoffs.
But I'm told I should receive some copies next week. So when I do, I'll get some shipped out for all the lovely people who have pre-ordered offers. So yeah, thank you for that. Very excited.
Yeah, you can pre-order at leeds.com. We've also got a little bit of a competition going on Twitter, so you can win a copy. So we'll obviously extend that out until the book launches as well. I've been reading it. Rocco's kindly sent me a version of it. And we'll go into this properly because I've made loads of notes, highlighted some stuff. So yeah, it's really good. I'm enjoying it. So yeah, we'll chat about that on a podcast very soon. But yeah, thanks ever so much, everyone, for listening in. try keep the face. I know it feels crap when you get a couple of, well, two or three results that don't go your way. Still plenty of points to play for between around the top four teams. So anything could happen. Like, you never know. Like, we feel crap now, but it could all change in the space of a few days. So let's see where we get to after Blackburn. We'll see you then.
Network.